presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I understand that your church has been on a bit of a Holy Spirit theme recently. Some of the messages and things have been about the Holy Spirit, and you've been getting stuck into some stuff to do with the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning, we are going to read the account of one of the earliest examples of the Holy Spirit moving in the New Testament. So if you have a Bible with you, can you open it to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at one of the earliest examples of where the Holy Spirit moves in the New Testament. I'm going to read, it'll be on the screen, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. But as we open the Word, let's pray. And let's just ask that God interacts with us in His Word. Can we do that together? Lord God, we want to thank You so much that we live in this time and we live in this this place. And we thank You that Your Word, the Bible, is so freely available to us. It is so easy for us to own a copy of the Bible, whether it's in print form. It's so easy to download an app with the Bible on it. We can read a whole heap of translations. We have access to incredible resources that allow us to read Your Word. But Lord, we know Your Word is primarily there to make Jesus famous, and it's to change our hearts. So we can read this thing, God, but unless it changes our hearts, it's really for naught. So we open ourselves up to You, God, and we say, speak to us through Your Word. We want to be changed, God, because of the way we encounter Your Word. We want to be changed because of the way Your Word imprints on our hearts. And we just prepare ourselves for that now in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So just to fill you in, Mary has become, she has become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. There's been this miraculous encounter with God where the Holy Spirit has made her pregnant, even though she's a virgin. And of course, we know she's become pregnant with Jesus, who is the most important person in all history. You know, there's nobody before or after who has ever been like Jesus before. The perfect God, the perfect man. And we know from the accounts that He lived a sinless life. He didn't go through life with all of the sin and all of the selfishness and all of the imperfections that you and I have. He lived this perfect life, and then He was sent to a sinner's death on the cross, which should have been the ultimate defeat, but was actually the ultimate victory. Because what happened on the cross? There was this thing we call the divine exchange. You see, our sinfulness was exchanged for Jesus' perfection. Our unrighteousness is exchanged for Jesus' righteousness. Our death is exchanged for Jesus' immortality. Something completely undeserved, but you and I can receive that. And I just want to make the appeal right now. If you have never said yes to Jesus, if you've never participated in that divine exchange, never said, oh my gosh, this account that we read in the Bible is actually the real thing that happened. This is true. And I'm going to commit my life to following Jesus. I'm going to hand my life over to Him. And I'm going to follow Him. If you've never done that, I want you to know that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is for you as well. It's not just for a couple of people. It's not just for people who come to church regularly. It's not for people who grew up in church. It's not for people from a particular race or a particular economic background or a particular intellect level or anything like that. The gospel is for everyone. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, so we all get to say yes to Jesus. So if you haven't done that today, I want to say to you, please, before you leave this building today, make sure that you've said yes to Jesus. Have a talk to Kerry, have a talk to Caleb, have a chat to myself or any of the other people around here. If you've been following Jesus for more than 5 minutes, you should be able to lead someone else to Jesus. You should be able to point someone else to Christ. So let's make sure that none of us leave here today not having said yes to the incredible grace and the gospel of Jesus. Can we do that? Can we do that? Good, good. Okay, so obviously Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit and she is really concerned. She is really concerned because in ancient Jewish culture, to be pregnant outside of marriage, to have kids outside of marriage, is a point of incredible shame. It's also a point of incredible danger for her. The Old Testament laws were such that a woman like Mary could be actually dragged before the rest of the village and stoned to death. Rocks could be thrown at her until she was killed simply by being pregnant outside of wedlock. So a couple of days after this encounter with God, Mary actually decides to take a holiday. She decides to bail from the village and she goes off to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the hills outside of where she grew up. It was kind of a bit like, maybe it was a bit like leaving the big city of Wyala, and maybe it's a bit like going on a holiday to Iron Knob. It could be a bit like that, I think. I don't know. That's the best I could come up with to sort of link it to this circumstance. But she goes off to see her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is much, much older. She's actually well past being able to have a kid. But, miracle of miracles, Elizabeth is pregnant too by the Holy Spirit. And it turns out, those of you who know the story will know that Elizabeth goes on to have someone who was called John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So there's these two big greats of the New Testament who are in the tummy, in the womb, their mothers are about to meet. So we're going to pick up the account in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So we'll pick it up in verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child, who was John the Baptist, leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God is blessed above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And you're blessed because you believed what the Lord would do what he said." So today, and for the rest of the time that you and I have together, we're going to spend some time pulling this biblical account apart. We're going to look at three key themes, and this is where the title of this message comes from. So we're calling this message, and we're going to do it with actions. We're calling it everyone. So, and the action for everyone goes like this. You've got to do it with me, okay? Everyone. So you've got to point around at everyone. Joy. Joy. And power. Come on, let's see your muscles. You've been working out, man. Wow.
Just natural.
You're a lucky girl, Kerry. Wow, look at that. Okay, at the end of the meeting, everyone's got to feel Caleb's muscles. Goodness me. How are we going over here? Far out. Do they put iron in the water here in Wales or something? Okay, so you ready? Everyone? Joy and power. Power. So that's the title of our message. And if you're taking notes today, you can write that. And so here's the first point we want to make this morning. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. So have you ever noticed that verse 41, the very first person to recognize the arrival of Jesus in the world is an unborn baby. The first person to recognize Jesus coming to the world is an unborn baby. Elizabeth's baby recognizes Jesus. And then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is when Jesus is just a few days into his conception, you know. He's only just a few cells old. And he's recognized by John the Baptist in the womb through the Holy Spirit. Let's just get our heads around this for a minute. We can safely say that if an unborn baby like John the Baptist can recognize Jesus and welcome in the Holy Spirit, then you and I can do the same. You and I, by the Holy Spirit, can recognize Jesus. And so what we can draw from that is actually the Holy Spirit is for all people. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what family you were born into or what your education level or your income is or what the color of your skin is. The Holy Spirit is for all people. Can I get an amen to that? Come on. Now, in the Bible, there are some different words that are used to describe the Holy Spirit, because we know, of course, the Bible wasn't written in English originally. It was written in other languages. And in the Greek that is used in the New Testament, there's a word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit, and it's this word. And I want you to say it with me, and you've got to put on your very best Greek accent. Okay? It's the word pneumatos. Can you say pneumatos? Turn to the person next to you. Pneumatos. Souvlaki, baklava. You've got to say the Greek words. Posilene, melene, David. Pneumatos is the word. Okay. And now this word pneumatos, it means breath. It means air. I mean, you might be able to see the links there. It's where we get words like pneumatic from. You know, like on an air compressor. It's where we get words like pneumonia from, which is about difficulty to get air into your lungs. I want you to please understand the breath of God, the air of God is everywhere. And that breath gets breathed into people. That breath gets breathed into people. The breath in your lungs, the life spark that you have, is an expression of the Holy Spirit. It's the breath of God that gets breathed into you. It gives you life. And when you die, it goes back to God. It goes back to God. It's kind of like your life batteries. That's what goes into you. Can I ask, do you want to experience an aspect of the Holy Spirit right now? I can show you very tangibly how you can experience an aspect of that Holy Spirit breath right now. Here's how. Put your hand in front of your mouth, just like this, as if you're checking your breath. And I want you to say this word with me. Say the word breath. 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 Now, as you say that, can you feel that energy hitting your hand? Breath. Can you feel that vitality hitting your hand? See, that's your pneuma. That's your breath life. Breath that has been given to you by God, and it goes back to Him after you die. See, if we are going to understand Jesus well, we need to understand that life begins at conception. And verses like this are one of our guiding verses why followers of Jesus need to take a strong pro-life stance. A strong stance that says, well, actually, no, even newly conceived babies are complete people. Even newly conceived babies in the womb are capable of responding to the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are fully formed spiritual beings even when we're in the womb. Even in utero, we are capable of experiencing Jesus. The Holy Spirit is for all people. He's for everyone. He's for everyone. Now, the second thing I want you to understand is that the Holy Spirit is there to bring joy to us. He's there to bring joy. I mean, do you see what happens even in our account here, even as Elizabeth encounters Mary as they meet together? Their babies connect at this almost mystical level. Do you see what happens? Elizabeth's baby jumps for joy inside of her. You can imagine John the Baptist sort of jumping for joy, and poor Mary getting all of these kind of pains, Elizabeth getting all of these kind of pains and stuff. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but consistently through the Holy Spirit, through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is always linked to an outpouring of joy. Always. Joy is something that is radically different to happiness. Although, of course, there can be happiness in joy. But joy is something that goes much, much deeper than emotion. And I think the best way to describe joy is like this. It's having a deep contentment, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what life or other people have dealt at you, having a deep contentment and being able to ride out the storms of life. That's what joy is really about. It's a contentment that you experience even when tragedy strikes. It's knowing that God has got you and that no matter what, things are going to be okay. So many of us, we actually, during those difficult times or during those times where life is bashing us around, so many of us, we actually shy away from the Holy Spirit. We go to ground, you know. We dodge God and we dodge other people. When we're struggling with sin or when we're struggling with life or when we're struggling with our own behavior, we dodge the presence of God. We isolate ourselves and we want to be alone. But you know that even during our really, really difficult times, even during those times when all hope seems to be lost, there can be lightness. There can be this sense of laughter and this sense of joy that comes even in those horrible times. This was brought home to me actually just the other day. I've got a friend of mine. I went to high school with him and he's going through cancer at the moment. He's got this particularly severe cancer and I'm afraid to say without a miracle it's probably going to kill him. It's pretty grim for my friend. And he told me that he'd been to the Women's and Children's Hospital just recently, and he'd been in, for some reason, they admitted him into the infectious diseases ward. Now, if you've been in the infectious diseases ward before, you end up in this room with an airlock door, and nobody else can go in there unless they're fully gowned up and fully masked up and everything. And he was in there for a couple of days, and he was telling me about this by text. And he was telling me he absolutely hated being in there. He hated being isolated and that it felt to him a bit like being in prison. But it actually made me reflect on something. 7 years ago, I was in the same ward. 7 years ago, I'd gone through cancer treatment. 7 years ago, soon after going through my own cancer treatment, They diagnosed me with some sort of funny spot on my lung and thought that it was something awful that I might have picked up on a missions trip in Indonesia, in Sumatra, just a little bit before. So what had happened was I'd been airlifted to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. The Royal Adelaide Hospital. I'd been put in the very same infectious diseases ward, pre-COVID. Joella thinks that I was probably patient zero in South Australia. Because I got to wear face masks before they were cool. I'd got put in this double airlock door, and I was there for 10 days. I was there for 10 days, but do you know, I didn't think it was like being in prison. I actually treated it a bit like a holiday. I had a great time. I mean, the movies were free. You could order these meals on this little screen, and they'd magically come to you. People would bring you meals that you didn't have to prepare. I got to sleep a lot. I got to sit on this day bed and read stuff. It was actually awesome. There was no asking hard questions. If that's what prison is like, I'd be prepared to do a prison stint. It was great. It was great. And you know, I'm actually not sure that that's anything about me. That's not anything about my thinking or the way I approach life. I actually think that the reason I got through that so easily was because when we have the Holy Spirit in us, there's a joy that comes with that no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and when we encounter the Holy Spirit, we're often, I reckon we're always seeing the best of things. You know, we're always sort of making light of circumstances. We know that no matter what, we win at the end. No matter what, we win at the end. For those people who are full of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know about you, but people say I'm full of myself sometimes. I actually think I'm full of the Holy Spirit. People who are full of the Holy Spirit, there should be a sense of not taking ourselves too seriously. There should be a sense of being free of our hang-ups, being free of being self-conscious and having endless introspection of ourselves. And so I want to say, let's make sure, if we're going to say that we are people of the Holy Spirit, let's make sure that we are people of joy. Let's make sure that we are people who are quick to laugh. Let's make sure that we are not so preoccupied with who we are and what we've got to do, but we are constantly pointing people to Jesus. Let's be those kind of people, shall we? And here's the third thing we're going to just talk about. The Holy Spirit is a giver of power. The Holy Spirit is a giver of power. Power. Yeah. He's good. You should be, oh man. Have you ever thought of modeling?
No.
No? Bit late for that, you reckon? Maybe hand modeling. Maybe that's what you're up for now. Okay, got a bit of work to do, but we're on the way. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit gives power. And it's not specifically written in this account. But when you consider the lives of Elizabeth and Mary, it's likely that this encounter that they had with the Holy Spirit sustained them throughout their lives. The account, of course, that we've read is very much the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. This is his pre-birth time. But at the end, after he's been on the cross, after he's been through the resurrection, after just before Jesus ascends to heaven, he says this to his disciples. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, Elizabeth was already old when she became pregnant with John the Baptist. So we don't know, but we know that she probably didn't live long enough to see him start his ministry in the wilderness. Those of you who know the story, wild man, wearing skins, eating locusts dipped in wild honey. Do we have them on the agenda for after church today? That's a pity. We need to get more biblical in this place. We know John was dead in his early 30s, beheading at the command of John the Baptist. He lived a rough life. And if you've someone who has had older parents, if you're someone who's had older parents, you've been an older parent, you'll know that you need a special kind of stamina. You need a special kind of strength to parent your children. I was talking to a woman in our church just recently who said to me, you know, David, growing old is not for wimps. As we get older, who knows that the aches and pains come in more. The energy seems to be less and less and less. We need older parents, they need this special stamina to parent their kids. And I just wonder, was Elizabeth sustained by this Holy Spirit encounter with Jesus? Did that bolster her up? Sister had 18 children.
Your
nan's sister. She would have needed a lot of Holy Spirit. A lot of Holy Spirit. That's amazing. So Elizabeth would have desperately needed the Holy Spirit to sustain her through that time. And what about Mary? What about Mary? I mean, can you imagine Mary going through life, watching her son become a guru, adored by the crowds? Can you imagine her watching Jesus say to his followers, actually, you're closer to me than my family members? And then actually Mary being there in person to watch her beautiful boy tortured, to watch her beautiful boy executed on a criminal's cross. I reckon Mary would have needed the Holy Spirit to equip her as she went through life. If Mary and Elizabeth needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need the Holy Spirit to get us through this? The author of the book of Hebrews says this, He says this in Hebrews 13. He says, may God equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says to the Romans in Romans 15, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can see in both of these passages from the New Testament, we can see the equipping, the resourcing, the power comes from us knowing the Holy Spirit. I've been following the state news as much as anybody, and I know that this region has been through some incredibly difficult financial times in recent years. And I know you're not through it yet. There's still a whole heap to come. And I know that in times like this, people get tired. People get weary. People get scared. People lose hope. But I'm here to say to you today that if an unborn child can experience the Holy Spirit, you can too. You can too. This morning, who needs a refreshing of the Holy Spirit? Come on, who needs that Holy Spirit refreshing this morning? I don't know about you, but I get sick of living in gloom. I get sick of living without any sense of laughter and without any sense of hope. I reckon we all need an encounter with the Holy Spirit this morning that brings joy, that brings an equipping power. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring joy in those difficulties in life. So this morning, I'm simply going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask that the Holy Spirit would come on you with power. The Holy Spirit would equip you with joy. The Holy Spirit would equip you to deal with whatever challenges are coming forward in life for you. Whether those are the challenges of the Whyalla region, or whether those are the challenges just that life brings, you know, just that life brings. So what I'm going to ask that you do as we stand in the presence of God, I'm simply going to ask that you put your hands out before God. You know, that might feel weird to you, but to stand with our hands raised before the Lord, it's actually one of the very basic, very primal experiences of worshiping God. And when we put our hands out before God, we're saying two things to him. We're saying, God, I surrender to you because I'm not holding anything behind my back. I'm standing before you, and I'm showing you that I'm holding nothing in my hands that is going to get in the way. But we're also saying, God, I'm going to catch something. I'm going to catch whatever it is that you want to pour on me. So we're kind of doing two things. We're surrendering, and we're saying, God, give me everything you've got for me. I'm going to catch it. So I'm going to pray for you, and as I pray, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to start to do something in you. You might start to feel a sense of heat. You might start to feel sensations of electricity. You might start to feel something else. Often that is the way the Holy Spirit comes on us. So you don't need to pray. All you need to do is stand and receive from the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for this example. And we want to thank you that right now you are wanting to pour out on people, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you, Holy Spirit, are for everyone. You're for unborn babies, and you're for the oldest person in the room. And Holy Spirit, we want to thank you that you are here, and that Jesus, you came to pour the Holy Spirit on everyone. You came to unlock your Holy Spirit presence so that we would be able to go through this life knowing you. So we welcome you into this space, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, that no one is disqualified from experiencing you. We have the pneumatic, the pneumos of the Holy Spirit, the pneuma of the Holy Spirit in us. And right now we want more of you. We want more of you. So Lord, thank you that you are here, and thank you that you are for everyone. And right now, God, we ask that you would inject supernatural joy into people in this space. Let there be a lightness, I pray, in the presence of God. Let there be a joyfulness, I pray, in the presence of God. Let there be laughter. Let there be a sense that no matter what, my God has got me and I'm going through life and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. This is not about me. This is about the presence of God. This is about the presence of the Holy Spirit. So pour yourself out on your people, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, for that equipping power. That equipping power that comes with the presence of God. That equipping power that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you equip us with everything we need to get through this life well. You know, I realized when I turned 50 that we're all making it up, right? Nobody's got it all together. Nobody knows how it all works. But we thank you that you, God, know exactly what's ahead of us, and you pour your grace out on your people and you bless us with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we simply ask now, God, that you fill us from the very bottom of our feet to the very top of our heads with the power of God and with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, that we leave here today with an understanding that you are for everyone, that you fill us with joy, and that you equip us for those challenges of life. Let us walk out of here, God, full of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.